Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember.
Yeah.
You do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
Pete Donaldson here on the Football Ramble channel. Now we are back with the best of the Football Ramble, the 2013-14 season. We're having a great time listening to some of the greatest events in football through the prism of the Football Ramble. And we're going to be kicking off this show with, Jose Mourinho returning to Chelsea. It's the big one, the special one, if you will.
I know, but I just think, come on, how much football do you need to watch to not get it?
I mean,
they probably had their banners over their eyes. They probably didn't see it. Yeah.
Oh, did you see one guy had a banner up? Just said spend, spend, spend.
There were some horrific banners over the weekend. The Chelsea fans. It was like Marini home.
Yeah.
Dickhead.
It was poor.
Grown men. Like, it was a man who made like a montage of like front pages going, Mourinho's come home, and all little pictures and stuff. Can you imagine if you walked in the room and your dad was like, had the Pritt sticker?
Yeah.
Going,
man, where's dad? He's in the spare room. All right, I'll just go and sit. What are you doing? What is happening here?
You're 53,
but
dad.
He's coming home, son.
Yeah. Oh, saviour, Chelsea.
Oh, more of that in the correspondence section later on. Stay tuned, football fan. Right as well.
Yeah. Did you see what Gordon Strachan said after the game? Because I think the Scots perhaps took the game a little bit more seriously than England, you could argue.
Yeah, I'd go with that.
I mean, to suggest that is, looking at what Strachan said afterwards, right now it is just disappointment. This could have been a result we were all talking about in 40 years' time.
I think that's a dig at England and the World Cup, isn't it, as well?
Is that right?
I think it might be, yeah.
It could be. I did find it funny. Kevin Bridges Yeah. Fan of the show, Kevin Bridges, apparently.
He's a bit strong.
that's the inside track.
He once ignored Marcus, who asked him out for a beer
Not quite true. He stood me up.
Okay, it's all right. Yeah, okay.
Yeah. I went to see him in Hammersmith Apollo.
Yeah.
It's quite close to where I live, actually. He could have come back, had a cup of tea. We could have been friends, Kevin.
Had a cup full of beans with a sausage as the fork.
Like a savoury 99.
Yeah.
Alan Partridge. He tweeted, Kevin Bridges tweeted, tonight I felt England wanted it more.
Do it in his accent. If you're going to do a Scottish person, do a Scottish accent.
And you're the only one person who can do a Scottish accent.
Yeah.
Tonight I felt England wanted it more. You could see what it meant to their fans and players. They always put up their game against Scotland. That tweet, obviously he's being sarcastic and made the Scottish sun. Something going on. Oh, Nigeria! There's been some spectacular match fixing in Nigeria.
Is this going to be another example of late match? If you're going to fix matches, do it early.
I said it last season. If you're going to fix a match, I'm not with you. But if I was going to do it, I wouldn't do this.
Let me set the scene. this is the most important thing that's on the running order. Two teams, Plateau United Feeders.
Good. Yeah. Good name.
Are they really going to sort Plateau? They're sort of consistent, at least. And Police Machine.
Police Machine's a great name for a team.
You'd expect them to be a little bit more honest, perhaps. They were going for promotion to Nigeria's lowest professional league. I think it's League 3. And this is decided in an amateur tournament, of course. Both sides had identical results going into their last matches. They both won their opening games 2-0. They drew 0-0 with each other. This meant it would be a case of which team could score the most goals in their final match.
Mm.
Police Machine. I mean, they set the bar high. They won their game 67-0.
Oh, Police Machine.
Can I have a quick word? It's probably nothing. It's probably nothing, but just in the interest of good practice, can I have a quick word just over there for a second? Yeah? That's what I'd be saying.
Wait,
yeah.
But it wasn't...
Who got your goals?
It wasn't enough.
Hang on, Police Machine.
As the goals go in, bam, bam, bam.
It wasn't enough because Feeders stuffed 79 past their opponents with no reply. 67-0 and 79-0. Suspicions were aroused.
The political correct has gone mad.
Can you imagine winning 67-0 and being beaten on goal difference?
Don't leave it late in the season.
But let me dissect it a little bit more.
I can imagine them winning 67-0 and say, do you want to wait around for their game? No point. Let's go to the pub. Straight to the pub. After a few beers. They've done what?
Oh, no. Well, apparently Feeders were only 7-0 up at half-time. 72 of the goals came in the second half.
That is almost 2 a minute.
Police Machine was 6-0 up at half-time and scored a more modest 61 in the second half. But I love that. They must have been in contact. They're 7-0 up. They're 6-0 up. We both know what's going on here. Right.
Are the games playing at the same time?
Must have been.
Oh, that's quality. That's even better.
The Nigerian Football Federation.
Sounds like I couldn't do that by myself on a pitch. Sounds exhausting.
You couldn't even do it.
I couldn't run from the centre circle to the goal. I couldn't do that many times.
It's a goal every 40 seconds.
What I think is the funniest about this is, in your head, think of what the other team are doing while this is happening. They must literally just be standing there. Would that not be the longest 45 minutes of your life? My family have turned up. They're watching. Go on, Luke. You got it. Shut up.
Guys, go on, guys. Dad.
Go on, Dad. Should I go get your meat pie? Yeah, go and get a meat pie.
I'm so proud of you today, son.
Oh, dear. The Nigerian Football Federation called it a mind-boggling show of shame.
The 65th goes in, one centre-back goes to the other. That's your man. That's not my fault. That's your man.
Nigerian Football Federation Vice President Mike Ume said, it was embarrassing that in one of those games a player scored 11 times, while in the other four goals were scored within a minute and a player scored three own goals.
Tahiti are going, what? What's the problem?
Oh, they're all banned.
Banned.
Oh, my goodness.
Out you go.
Well, I think that's hasty. At least at least have an investigation.
You need more proof. Oh, dear. And we're going to finish the main of the show. Damn it all.
Food for thought. Sobering.
Yeah. Luke, what have you got?
Correspondence. I did a question of the week again. In light of Jack Wilshere insisting that he doesn't smoke, despite being caught red-handed, what's the best or worst, I suppose, lie you've told to your parents? I've got a few here. This is off from Greg Newman. This is my personal favourite. He says, I convinced my nan that GoldenEye on the Nintendo 64 was actually the film and managed to get 3 hours of it in while she moaned that it was a load of crap.
Come on.
That's excellent, Greg. Well done.
I tell you what, I wasn't in a good mood, but that sorted me out, to be honest.
None of those are football related, and that's the way we like it. Oh, I've got another one. One more. One more for the road? It might be libelous, but we'll do it anyway. Joe on the Twitter. I told my mum that touched me at Pontins in 1993 to get out of the swing ball tournament. God, that's escalated.
Nice. Well, horrible.
I'll leave that one with you, Pete.
Yeah. I mean, I wasn't going to do any editing this week, but...
You can just bleep up the name if you want.
Yeah, okay, cool. Yeah.
Oh, my giddy up. Well, Germany beat England 4 the day last.
Yeah, that's true, yeah.
It's no disgrace. An odd story that came out of Germany recently was the news that Lothar Matthäus had to come out and tell people he was still alive. Strange one. World Cup winner, Lothar Matthäus. Apparently, the authorities tried to contact him regarding alimony to his ex-wife, but failed. So a stamp on a court letter had labelled Matthäus.
What, you can't
deceased.
Get hold of him, so he's labelled dead?
Yeah.
That's a
huge assumption.
It's massively uncharacteristic lack of organisation from the Germans.
Can you ring Matthäus? Yeah. He's not picked up. He always picks up.
He's dead.
Oh, God, he's dead. Not even answer phone.
I find it sad that Lothar Matthäus's life, personal life, is open to such sort of criticism and sort of voyeurism, because he's got 150 caps for Germany.
Outrageous.
And it's not even like he's...
Outrageous.
When you hear someone's got 150 international caps, it's normally some sort of talismanic player for a bit of a backwater nation. Yep. Germany and West Germany. Yeah. 150 caps.
In like an era where they won the World Cup and were in two World Cup finals before that. You know, and when they were as good as they've been.
Yeah.
Incredible.
Indeed.
Stuff.
I've had enough of this box to box business. I'm going to play sweeper now. Yeah.
I did like the quote.
I will very much remain alive.
He said, "This is outrageous. Everyone can see that I am alive, whether on TV or on the pitch."
Matthäus dies when Matthäus says.
If Matthäus did die, he would probably still be quite good at football. Yeah. That's how good he is. Well, he could still probably do a job as a dead man.
He's one of the
It'd be like Weekend at Bernie's.
It would be.
You just prop him up.
It would.
You just you
or
get
a motorcycle running around with him.
You get a player that needs a bit of guidance on the pitch, and you just strap Matthäus' corpse to him, and it will improve that player.
Lothar Matthäus has got so much muscle memory for being so good at football. Yeah. He could still get through like a 90-minute game if it was an important game.
Yeah, just from escaping gas.
It's like the equivalent of having an injection.
It is. Would he count? Would that count as two players if he was the corpse?
No,
I doubt it.
Yeah, even if
I
it
mean,
did,
we check the rules.
Even if
I don't
did.
Know if FIFA had thought of this.
We're playing a back three. Why? You'll see.
Don't worry about it.
You can't be playing him onside. He's dead.
And he also had time to say, had a pop at the FIFA director saying they're all over 95 years old. They are so old they cannot even drive a car. So how can they lead the world of football?
Fair point.
They don't need to. They're chauffeured.
Yeah, they are chauffeurs, to be
that
fair.
That is true.
Maybe it's the chauffeurs doing all the real work in football.
to be fair to Maradona, I mean, he's not involved as much now, but João Havelange is 97. And he's still around. So, I mean, it's, you know.
Just retire.
Yeah.
Are you having a go at him for being alive?
No,
we are.
Just backing up El
and
Diego.
And he's still around.
I'm just backing up El Diego's
but
point.
He's not involved anymore.
Well, isn't he though?
It's a bit embarrassing now, isn't it? It's a bit embarrassing him just hanging around.
Pulling the strings. I told you, the reason he's still alive is because he's probably been fed on like FIFA monkey embryos. Yeah.
And also, I imagine sort of, you know, the organs of you
children.
Know, poorer chaps and children are used to replace any of his failing ones.
Yeah. It's probably not even him anymore.
No,
it's like Trigger's broom.
He'll find another host body before long anyway.
He'll be pumped into a promising youngster like Messi.
Oh, dear. Yeah. The views of Luke Moore and Jim Campbell, not the football ramble there. Yeah.
Although half of it.
I just don't want to get involved in the courts.
You just don't want João Havelange to take you as a host.
Yeah, that would be terrifying. Yeah, there would be a few ghost goals, wouldn't there?
I mean, I'm not having a pop at him because he is 97, but he's quite a terrifying looking bloke.
Well, and he's also...
I'm not having a pop at him.
No, but you can have a pop at some of the dodgy stuff he's allegedly... Almost definitely done.
probably best leave that alone.
I think technically you can't, Marcus. That's how the law works.
Yeah. An email.
An email, okay. Yeah. Right, well, we criticised friend of the Ramble, Murray James, for not doing anything last week, and he's my has he responded. let's go straight in. Hello, sorry for not getting involved last week, got caught up in work. This week's been the same. I'm working harder than Harry Redknapp's presumably Filipino cleaner and his presumably illegally extended beach house bought with presumably dirty money. Presumably.
Thanks for that, Murray.
However...
if we're not here next week, this will be a high point.
Yeah.
However, I did have time to knock up a Schwarzenegger 11. Okay, so I'll go straight in.
He just knocked it up.
So this is an Arnold Schwarzenegger first 11.
I'll have a think.
Okay, in the spirit of last week's Cat 11.
Yeah. Okay. So here we are. That's Junior Hoylett. Yeah. Jürgen Twinsman.
That is very good.
Karl-Heinz Running Maniga.
That is top.
Conan Dembabarian. Quaid Hignett. Sarah Connor Wickham.
Yeah.
Commando Torres.
Commando Torres.
Eraser Ruddock.
Excellent.
Morten Gamst Predatorson. Cesar Azpilavista, baby. And the quite magnificent Michael Get to the Chopra. And the manager is Kinder Jürgen Klopp.
Yeah.
Also, he adds, we don't need a keeper. Arnie's fucking mental. Yeah. Quick one for the younger listeners. This is a poo 11. Steve Legrizovich, Keith Curl, Crap Stam, Wes Brownie, Jobby Savage, David Dung, Cack Wilshire, Stool Fox, Turdy Sheringham, Shite York, and Floater Mateus. Reserve keeper, Shaka Hisplop, managed by Poo Kinnear. Take care, Murray.
I think my favourite was Keith Curl.
And that, in a nutshell, is why he's front of the ramble.
Yeah, exactly.
Red Sonjari Litmanen.
Nice.
That's decent. Mm. That is actually decent, yeah.
That's it. He just knocked it up.
Yeah.
Wonderful stuff from Murray James there. Mm. Excellent, Murray. Thank you very much indeed. Pete.
Kinder Jürgen Klopp. Jesus. Excellent luck, but that, obviously the player sent off. But Croatia had loads of possession. Mm. They were sort of knocking on the door. But I think it's probably looking difficult for them. But I'd love to see them do it.
But that little seed of doubt in Croatia's mind, the fact that if Iceland score, they'll have to get two. Mm. That could be the difference.
Yeah, but at the same time, it could stifle Iceland, because they've got to attack, haven't they? So if they're too nervy about that, they might leave the front back door open.
Would you not
front
think,
door open?
Would you,
probably not as bad in
any
football,
door.
Analogy
any
wise.
Yeah.
Side door, fine.
Do you not think that they would take
a serving match?
Dumbwaiter. Shut up, Luke, we're talking.
Sorry about that, guys.
We're naming different kinds of doors, mate.
Yeah, Marcus, you got any doors?
Go on, Luke.
Those doors they make allotments out of.
Attic door.
Go on.
Cat flap. Goal flap. That's what the goal should be called from that one.
Goal flap.
No, go on, seriously, mate.
If Iceland sort of try and keep the goal flap very firmly shut, would they be...
A slice of the show, goal of the time zone there. Again, these titles mean nothing to me without listening to the whole thing. A little later on, we managed to touch on FIFA and the 2022 World Cup. Take it away, friends.
The thing I don't like about the world of football is we're doing a show on football here now, and the next bit is going to be about an apparent slave problem.
It's good.
Yeah. I shouldn't have to comment on that.
It's good to remind people that this is a football joke.
Yeah, I know.
We should have a talk about like Bangladesh having their visas taken off them, have their passports taken off them to make some stadiums for a football tournament, which is already ridiculous.
Well, Pete, you say that.
What does Franz Beckenbauer say about
Franz Beckenbauer saying, I have not seen a single slave in Qatar.
Oh, no, egg on your face. Pete Dalton. Oh, you feel like a new thing. Yeah.
Case closed, Pete.
Detective. Yeah.
You know those investigative journalists who uncovered nonsense?
Yeah.
Because, and Franz says, I don't know where these reports come from. Well, I can send you a few links, you prick.
It's the slaves themselves.
Yeah. I've been to Qatar and have a completely different picture of it. Of course you do, you corporate slag.
You mean wine and dine. It's been hidden from you, Franz.
You. They're not going to give you a slave to take home, are they? As part
hang on a minute. Because. We are talking about the FIFA football family here.
If Franz Ferdinand... If Franz Beckenbauer turns up at a stadium, like, they'll know he's coming. It'll be like Home Alone. They'll all have, like, cardboard cutouts of people. Yeah, we're all happy. We're not slaves. It's fine.
Franz Beckenbauer actually finished the point by saying, I think my opinion is more realistic. He actually said that.
I've been there.
Marcus, yeah. I think you can fill us in on what else Beckenbauer's been up to lately to show sort of how credible his opinion is.
Slaves don't exist. Aliens do. Who have come to take... If anybody's seen that thing on YouTube.
Franz Beckenbauer used to be extraordinarily classy, talented, and very, very high achieving football player and manager.
Yeah.
And he's been really reduced to this. This is what football does to people.
I'd argue that this isn't football's fault, this is money's fault, and this is FIFA's fault.
Yeah. Like, give me strength, Beckenbauer. You know, like, imagine if you're one of the workers in Qatar, you know, it's going on. Mm. Do you know what I mean? People are dying for goodness
sake. Look at the fucking body bags. Yeah. It's not like there isn't body bags.
And,
you know what I mean?
And he has a voice in football. He turned around and went, even if he didn't know, but he went, well, if that's happening and it's terrible, I think we need to make sure, and blah, blah, blah. If he just turned around and goes, no, it's not happening. What a prick.
Yeah, I agree.
Do you know what I mean? Like, for fuck's sake. You know, it's absolute disgrace that it's shocking. Oh, no, that's not happening. Don't worry about it. Bollocks. Absolute bollocks.
Yeah, no, I agree. Something else is an absolute disgrace. Pete's game.
Very much an equivalent medieval dictatorship.
I agree. And those people who do your answers, they're not getting paid. So that is slave labour in a way.
While you're sitting at work punching them numbers into them boxes, why not head on over to thefootballramble.com and have a gander? You'll find more highlights than a night at Crystals.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? We're nearly at the end of the Premier League season, so I'm pretty drained. So many tense matches, and some not so tense, as well as point deductions, a battle for the title, and teams on the brink of relegation. All that suspense has me needing a well-deserved break. With the year in full swing, it can be easy to get swept up in work, social engagements, even keeping up with all this football, and we can spread ourselves too thin. But with therapy, you can learn to prioritise your time and really recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online, designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/ramble today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/ramble.
Question of the week. I'm getting a pet cat. No, I'm joking, it's not that. Norwich City were handed a battering at the weekend.
Yep.
Tell us the biggest footballing lesson / defeat you've been handed.
Not all defeats are lessons.
No, that's true, but some of them are. Kevin Q Anderson, this is the best one. I'll finish with this one from Twitter, from Niall Mullally. The referee blew up early when we were 6-0 down and the other team complained. The referee replied in front of us all, "Just leave it, lads, this lot of shit." I was 10 years old.
That's quality. Well, I can wade in with a little referee outburst as well. We played a team when we hammered them, to be perfectly honest with you. And they were just a group of individuals who quite clearly shouldn't be playing in a competitive team. Just go and have a kickabout with your mates.
A bunch of ball hoggers.
Exactly, yeah. But they're arguing this, that and the other. And the they kept shouting at the ref. And the referee was a little tubby bloke who clearly was up for something.
Yeah. He was a ref.
Yeah. And I'm not joking. They were hounding the ref the whole game, and the referee got so pissed off that he tackled one of their players and passed it back to our keeper. And they were just absolutely dumbfounded. They were like, "What are you doing?" And the referee, as he, this is true, I promise you, as he walked off, the keeper cleared it up the pitch and it smacked the ref on the back of the head. Right? So their whole team just went into absolute laughter at the referee. So the referee then, like, picked up the ball as if he was going to go, "Right, I'm going home." And his lad was like, "Ref, what are you doing? Blah, blah, blah." And he went, "Were you born an effing dickhead?" And squared off to the bloke.
What a terrible bloke.
Dad's breakdown.
Best meltdown I've ever seen on a pitch, and it was by a river.
pottery.
Yeah.
There you How's go. About that?
Brilliant.
Mm. We're going to go to the Gloucester Northern Senior League.
The big one.
Oh. Swordley AFC play by the Forest of Dean. Now, we reported on a similar story about this sort of thing a few years ago, and it's come up again. Their pitch was torn up by wild boars.
Wild boars! Nice, Pete, nice.
Wild boars!
Wild boars!
to be honest, the sound clips there from last time.
Yeah, yeah. Well, any old listeners to show remember probably 2 or 3 years ago.
How many times have you hovered over that to delete it and gone, no, not
this
yet.
May happen again.
Yeah.
It'll come back.
Well, you're right, Pete, because there was a boar expert down by the pitch, and he said that they are creatures of habit because it's a cut field. They like it better so they can get the worms and grubs. They just like to get in there quickly and dig up what they're looking for.
Uwe Rosler.
Was not involved.
Yeah,
he was not at all.
He was in the
He's the Shola Amiobi.
He was in the previous. What is going on? We interrupted someone effects. Else's radio show. But yeah, so wild boars are tearing up the pitch. It would cost in excess of £1,000.
Look, maybe if you nip down there, you'll get a chance to play against loads of pigs like you
That'd
wanted to.
That'd be brilliant.
That's the closest you'll get.
I'll get the feeling Marcus is about to launch an appeal to raise money to have them shot or something. I don't know.
What, the planes?
Yeah.
No, this is
one or the
cheaper.
Other.
There should be an appeal for each. Yeah. And whoever wins gets to live.
I have forgot that, and it's to my detriment.
It's a lovers habit.
Well, if you could organise some sort of party for Sir Alex Ferguson, who would you invite, Pete?
What's this, a dinner party and we all get an invite?
Yeah, why
no,
not?
No, we all get to invite a person.
Yeah, okay, you've got a plus one.
Okay, right.
Pete, who are you bringing?
I would bring the Cuban recording artist Armando Christian Perez.
Pitbull.
Because I just think we'd have a lovely time.
I don't understand why this is funny.
Why would you just picture it? Why would it not be funny?
Me and Pitbull holding hands. I'm teaching him how to use the right knife.
Yeah. Strangely, you and Pitbull would have the most in common. Fergie would be just all at sea.
Yeah.
Well, I'm inviting Roy Keane. Yeah. So this is a very aggressive dinner party.
Sticking up your Pitbulls.
Would Ferguson swing his butt round and round, and at the end of the night, would it go down for Pitbull?
Who knows?
Yeah.
He's had when he's got enough wine in him, who knows?
And he's generally got enough wine in him, so looking likely, isn't it?
So we got Pitbull and Roy Keane.
Shit. Yeah. Let you play the big man, let him come along, and then just watch him go. The fireworks go.
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah.
It's kind of, this sort of dinner party would remind me of like Malcolm Tucker when he gets fired, and he has that dinner party with all the journalists and
stuff.
Yeah,
that's right, yeah.
And Pitbull's in.
And Pitbull's there with me, talking about the foxy lasses we've copped off with.
I don't think Pitbull talks about copping off with anyone.
I'm going, Pitbull, tell me more.
Pitbull's talking, Pete's listening.
Yeah, indeed. Pete's learning.
Learning all the wrong lessons.
How'd you get off of lasses, Pitbull?
Jim. Have you ever gone steady with a girl?
What base have you been to, Pitbull?
Pitbull's at the end just going, I don't understand a word you just said.
Have you ever grabbed them from over the top of our blouse? Pitbull.
Okay, so my guest.
So there we are. Premier League. Let's go straight to Newcastle United versus Manchester City.
Shut your noise, you fucking old cunt.
Quote of the century, that, isn't it? It's incredible.
Shut your noise, you fucking old cunt.
Pardew said it, so we're allowed to say.
Yeah, exactly. We're just quoting him.
easily. Torso, head and shoulders, the best part of my weekend seeing that.
And you're on Match of the Day as well.
Apparently so. Oh, no, I was, yeah.
Yeah, you were, yeah.
Oh, dear. It's just sensational. Sensational. Alan Pardew.
Mm.
He's only 8 years older than him, Pellegrini.
The great thing
noisy,
about,
though.
Yeah. Well, not really.
No. Doesn't strike me as either noisy or old.
Pellegrini's never been noisy.
He always looks cane.
Even at a Pitbull gig, he wouldn't be noisy.
There's been a line drawn under that.
Oh, sorry.
I like that Pardew, he sort of does it, he very cyclically does stupid stuff that makes him out to be a terrible individual on quite a consistent basis, every 8 weeks or so.
Which would suggest something, wouldn't it?
He's like, remember when he pushed was it the fourth official he pushed?
Mm. It's like he's got a different personality for each alleged phone.
Right, indeed. But I thought that was, I thought that was very funny because I saw that actually happen. I thought, I couldn't work out what he'd said first, but obviously I recognised the second bit.
So good.
The problem with Pardew is he makes everything personal.
Yeah.
He's got such a big ego that he takes everything personal. nice.
And he does that smile with his new teeth and sort of tries to laugh everything off. And it's like, no, hang on a minute, that's a really low quality thing to do.
Yeah, it's really
you can't laugh
poor,
that off. You know, you can't smile that off.
Can you imagine how embarrassed he feels now? You know when you do something a bit stupid and you think back to it the next day and you just sort of go, oh God, and your very being feels uncomfortable. The last few days would have been like that for poor Alan Pardew.
I've been in nightclubs drunk shouting, you're more experienced than that. Going down the tunnel in the nightclub.
I didn't understand a word of that.
He did apologise, Pardew.
Yeah, but he also called him an old cunt. So, you know,
worth reiterating as much as possible, I think.
But, I mean, a lot of, I think, TalkSport were trying to...
Right. Yeah, so it's
there's no doubt now.
It's done. Yeah. To South America, Brazil, Ronaldinho, after rapping on his carnival float the other week, has collaborated with DJ Dennis on a new track called Let's Drink. If I may read the chorus out to you, it goes something like this. Boot the glass up high, let's drink. We will enjoy life, we drink. I'm full of money, let's drink.
Yeah. I'm full of money. It's not as good as Pitbull, but close.
Is he putting in a bid for unofficial World Cup anthem?
Oh,
I like that.
I'm full of money.
The great thing about these players...
Boot the glass up high.
The great thing about these players, Ronaldinho and Ronaldo, is they were brilliant. Brilliant. But they've never lost sight of the important things in life, which is to just enjoy yourself.
Yeah. But as you say, what would you rather in slagging people off like Mateus Sammer? Great player?
No.
Gold suits and rap careers.
Hasn't the great Rivaldo announced his retirement?
From Moggy Mirum.
Too early. Gone too soon.
41.
24 years as a pro.
Yeah, exactly.
He'll be back.
Oh, no.
And then wet himself.
Absolutely. Before we go to Pete's game, we've got to mention the things that are happening in Romania.
Mm.
This is not a football story to begin with, but see where we're going.
It will become one, won't it?
MPs in Romania are trying to decriminalise political corruption.
Which is,
incredible.
Staggering.
Come on.
In a way, I sort of respect it.
It's so brazen, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's just... I
read this. Like, mayors and other local officials would no longer be held liable for conflicts of interest. 28 members of the Romanian Parliament have been convicted or are currently on trial for corruption. 100 mayors and vice mayors on trial for awarding public contracts to family and friends or for similar abuses. Now, I'm not saying that Romania needs the World Cup, but FIFA's cock is hard.
That's a bit of me, that is.
Galvanised titanium.
I love the conversation.
2026.
I love the conversation between the MPs. There's 28 of us on trial for this. Do you know what we should do? Clean up our act? Stop it being a crime.
Decriminalise crime.
Yeah.
It's words fail you, doesn't
amazing,
it?
Amazing turn just, of events, isn't
but
it?
Anyway,
because fuck you,
yeah,
that's why.
Yeah, well, I mean, and that leads us to suggest that Bacali could be out soon.
Good.
Yeah. Because if this law is passed, the jail doors will be open. Benefit.
Hasn't George Hardy said he'll give him a job?
Georgie, I mean, this is reason 457 while the ramble exists. Georgie Hagi, who is the Romanian club Constanta, he's the owner of that club, he's offered old Bacali a community service job when he moved to a nearby open prison. He's wholeheartedly welcome. Apart from his big mouth, he's a true false for good.
Yeah. He's good police.
So, yeah, but thanks to Michael Healy for pointing that out.
He'll
to me.
Be free for president before we know it.
Hi, Pete Donaldson here. I'm back. Now, anyone who's listened to the Football Ramble recently might notice that I'm probably not the fan or the biggest fan of the common or garden pun. But one man who is beyond compare when it comes to creating said puns is friend of the show, Murray James. Stand by for Murray James's Punageddon.
Yeah. Well, I think we've got an email, do we?
We do. Yeah, I've had this email sat in front of me for about 20 minutes now, and I'm so glad that I can now read it. It's from friend of the Ramble, Murray James. Dear Pete, Marcus, Luke and Jim, in order of most likely to get their wang stuck in a toaster.
I like the way he still emails us, even though he could just text or ring or whatever, you know. Because he's a pal.
He's
a friend of the Ramble.
Yeah.
My Sunday league game was postponed at the weekend and I felt as lost as Richard Keys at a Don't Be a Tiny Face twat convention. I just didn't know what to do with myself, so I knocked up a Jurassic Park 11, lining up 4-3-3. Okay, so here we go. In goal.
Sit down, everyone, because strap yourselves in.
Yeah, if you're on the train, you might want to pause it.
Yeah.
In goal. Edwin van der Sar's Rex.
Okay, yes.
In defence, Rory Delap, as in raw like a dinosaur might.
Oh, what do you mean, raw? Okay, right, yeah.
Isla Nublad. Isla Nublerto Solano.
Isla Nublad. Okay.
Yeah. Stig Ingen Bjornaby.
That's good.
Don't worry, they get better.
Ingen, very good.
Embryo Ferdinand.
Yeah. Think Jurassic Park, not dinosaurs, Jurassic Park 11.
David Dun 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 Dun. Huh.
Heavy Prince Boateng.
Tom Clever Gurley.
Yeah!
Oh, and
up front, we've got DNA Ashton.
Yeah.
Or DNA Ashton. Jan Velosigor of Raptor Link. In the middle, we got Gabriel Batistuta. And on the bench, you've got Hammond Shearer, Nedry Sheringham, Darren Amberton, Jurassic Park, Martin Skrtel, manager Dr. Avram Grant, assistant Breda Hangerland, and mascot, of course, Gunnosaurus. And Murray continues, at halftime, Sepp Blatter is dressed as a goat, chained to a stake in the centre circle, and mauled to death. So thank you, Murray.
Dr. Avram Grant has.
Gearing up for that hot final.
Yes, it will. Let me start the show by asking you, gents, what would you like to see happen in the semi-finals of the Capital One Cup? Pete?
Definitely football.
Yeah.
Mm. But other than that,
it's a must.
I would like a literal giant killing. A humanoid colossus being executed in the centre circle.
Yeah.
Everyone
dark.
Cheering. Well, like Gulliver's Travels, that kind of size of giant.
I like that.
It's okay if they're massive. It's fine. It's not tragic.
It's safe, isn't it?
It just keeps
the villagers safer. So what tie would you like to see that at?
Any of them, really. He could do all of them. He could run... He could run to each one and get increasingly more hurt and confused. Because it would take him no time at all to run to the next leg, would it?
No, I guess so. Yeah. Depends how big he is. Well, they're quite nearby, aren't they, I suppose? Well, no, they're...
Sunderland and Manchester.
Yeah.
Never mind.
It's unworkable, Pete.
It's still more likely to happen than West Ham getting a result, let's face it. Yeah. So, you know.
Yeah. But which giant, specifically?
The big friendly giant.
Big friendly giant.
Come on.
Yeah.
That is a bit... Well, is Godzilla a giant, or is it just...
It's a giant reptile, so...
He's not a humanoid,
on a technicality, yeah. Pete did specify humanoid.
King Kong, probably closer to the humans, maybe.
Yeah.
Well, King Kong, then.
Okay, King Kong.
I don't know. Yeah. Godzilla DNA may be closer to human DNA than King Kong DNA. I don't know...
The power rangers, when they all joined together and made a big power ranger.
Okay.
Yeah?
I think that's the winner.
Well,
ultimately the loser, because it will be killed.
Yes.
Yeah. Exactly.
So, do you want to move on to gyms?
Strange times for the Capital One Cup. All will agree.
It's right to him. He just tapped it in. It's terrible.
Are Manchester United better with just Rooney on the field as opposed to Rooney and Van Persie?
Well, I did a little American radio slot earlier today,
like
which I do on a weekly basis.
You do.
The North American Soccer Network.
Oh, yeah.
Nazzle.
I actually floated the idea, which got a mixed response, I have to say, that perhaps United should think about moving Van Persie on. Purely because
eat my ass, Luke.
Probably, yeah, it was one of the comments.
Is what Van Persie said.
Get off the Nazem.
Yeah, probably.
Don't be disrespectful.
I'm doing what it was like. Yeah. We don't have the rights to play it.
No.
So we've got to recreate it through stereotypes.
What was the other one?
Stereotypes is not an accent, it's an accent.
What were the other things they were saying, Pete?
They were saying, we don't like you, the cut of your jib, son.
Yeah, you
bet your ass.
You beardy jerk. Anyway, I said, if you're not looking at now...
Aluminum! You're fucking strung out, Moore.
Shouldn't have mentioned it, should I?
No.
Should not have mentioned it.
I'm not going to take hold of it either. You're on your own, son.
Is Luke Moore better not mentioning his other jobs?
Go on, Luke.
He saves you. We don't get paid. Much like this.
Yeah.
So
you pay my son.
It's just ridiculous, isn't it? Absolutely ridiculous. Right, and lastly, to Brazil. I've got a Pelé update for you all. He's recently unveiled his latest business venture, which is him selling strands of his hair for around £4,500 a strand.
That is steep. Very steep. That's a lot of money. I don't care if he is Pelé.
I know.
You know.
The strands will be fashioned into diamonds and sold in a gold-plated box.
How many strands do you need for a diamond?
Is that even possible? Just assuming it is. Shouldn't more people do this if you can make diamonds out of your hair?
Yeah. You can make diamonds on everything, can't you?
Yeah.
But it takes a lot of energy.
Provided it's got carbon atoms, rude.
Is that right?
Peanut butter.
You're saying it's just energy that are in the way of people...
Yeah,
like making their hair into diamonds.
I tell you what,
could you make your hair into diamonds while it was still on your head? Could you have diamond hair?
I think the pressures involved might render that difficult.
The way Pele's acting lately, I just after the World Cup just put Pele in a machine, make him into diamonds.
Yeah,
I'm getting tired of him.
Yeah, in many ways,
he's
what he
selling
wanted.
His hair. Yeah. He's selling his hair for £4,000.
That's the sort of thing.
Well, it's
Neville
a
South
shark
Ball
has been jumped.
If he did do that, Maradona would spend the whole rest of his life running around going, "There's zircons, they're zircons." proper. They're rubbish. They were as good as my diamonds.
What do you think the Italian police are going, take strands of his hair? he's just solid plated box decorated with Pelle in his playing days. A profit of the share of this will go to a children's hospital.
Right. It's a very convoluted way of giving money to charity.
How much is that profit then? Yeah. Let's have a look at the money.
It's almost like if he really wanted to give the charity, he could have just given some money.
Yeah. rather than essentially deifying yourself.
having a meeting at a charity. I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, take my hair, put it in the diamonds, put it in a gold-plated box, give you a share of it. No, just give us some money. That's going to take ages. That sounds like it will take ages.
Believe it or not, though I am Pelle, my hair is not already made of diamonds. So we're going to use an undoubtedly really, really expensive method of making my hair into diamonds, and then you can have some of the money.
How did the meeting go with Pelle? Diamonds? Oh, well.
It was weird. It was very, very weird.
He's losing it.
It took a turn. It took a bit of a turn.
We sort of had to say yes because it was Pelle.
Yeah.
He was asked about his thoughts on the recent death of another construction worker on the World Cup stadia, and he said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't laugh because obviously it's a serious thing, but he says, that's normal, the stuff of life. These things happen. What worries me is the airport's not being finished. I've been travelling a lot and it's chaos.
Now buy my diamond hair.
That's a big
priorities,
issue.
Priorities, eh?
That's the big issue here. Yeah.
Thanks.
What the fuck is happening?
The Virgin First Class Lounge is not first class.
Yeah.
For me, Pelle. It's a thing of life. It's the exact opposite, to be honest. Pelle.
Yeah. It's almost a final act of life. Isn't it, really?
I mean,
it's a testament to that man's footballing career.
That's up there with Beckenbauer.
That nobody's set fire to him yet.
It's up there with Beckenbauer, isn't it?
It is. He's just shitting on his own fucking leg.
I'm not seeing any slavery.
Turn this into diamonds.
These people are held in
diamond.
Such high regard that they can go crazy and there's no one to sort of tell them or question
mental.
Them.
Meanwhile, Ronaldo's running out of his house to set Brata. I thought better of him. They're all on the absolute piss take, these Brazilians.
Terrible.
Romario called him an imbecile recently.
Yeah, good.
Spot on.
Romario's the only voice of reason here. I never thought of myself saying this.
That's the state of things. So Romario's the one where we're all going, well, go on.
I follow Romario on Twitter. Oh. He's a good follow. He's into his politics, stuff like that. That's the sort of level we want.
Pete, what have you done for money?
Loads of stuff. Sold pork at Leicester City, didn't I?
No,
worked in a betting shop for a while.
I did door-to-door sales of scissors.
Nice.
I've mentioned my bacon round.
Yeah.
Worked in a zoo.
Jim? You mentioned bacon round. I used to work in Index, which was like a knock-off Argos.
Oh, yeah.
I will repeat that. A knock-off Argos.
That can't be the worst thing that people have done for money. That's just a job that's sort of...
I did do that for money. That was bad.
Pete used to muck out animals...
I used to eat the chicken that used to go to the monkeys, the howler monkeys.
Well, they had cooked chicken?
Yeah, they had cooked chicken.
And you ate it?
One monkey, a spider monkey, that came from a house in Leicestershire, because people used to keep monkeys inexplicably back in there, sailors and that, they'd bring them home. And this one monkey used to get fed, like, roast.
Roast?
And that's the only thing it would eat. So they'd make, you know, roast potatoes for it.
Wouldn't it need gravy? Tell me it would sit there, and it would
until
it ate something.
I'd be the first to say, if he got hungry, he'd eat what was put in front of him. He has to have a roast. What is this?
He was about 40.
I'm not being funny, but zoos were asked for money. For the charities, a lot of them. I don't want to know that my charity money is going to an absolute diva primate who wants a full roast dinner.
Twycross Zoo. They had the PG Tips monkeys.
One, they
should have. To be fair,
chimps.
If it's PG Tips monkeys.
They're chimps. One thing to finish on. You shouldn't be having a roast any other day in the Sunday anyway.
Yeah, weird.
What fresh madness is this?
So that's the weird thing. They're eating roasts every day, not having a monkey in the fucking house.
That is a fair point. Yeah. And I will concede that a pet monkey may need to change their roast rotor.
Right, okay.
I understand that.
Have lamb one day, have chicken the next. Yeah. Right, okay, good.
Then a full hog roast, maybe.
What's next Sunday, Mum? Bushmeat.
Yeah. That's it. That is it.
A friend of mine told me quite a funny story about it. He was in a pub for the England game. And there's this guy there. At the bar, and these three absolute dickheads came in, big England fans, but dickheads.
And saw this guy. And I think they sort of half knew him or something. But I'll get this is second-hand information, so I'm a bit sketchy on the details. But basically, they saw him and they started wedgying him in the pub at the bar, right? But it gets better than this, yeah? Started wedgying him at the bar. Then one of them saw that he was wearing St. George flag underpants and went, no, it's out of order. Stop. It's out of order.
Oh,
Leave it. Oh, no, not today. Not tonight. And let him off.
What a good lad that one is. Oh my god.
If anything sums up
set of felons.
Yeah. We've played so much football.
It would be great though if the Spanish turned up and the fans were still singing, you know, like, you know, champions and all this sort of stuff. Because they're still out of world champions, aren't they?
It's going to be weird for
milk that for a little while. Yeah. For a little while longer.
It's going to be odd for the younger generation.
A bit
of
Chelsea
Spanish
Champions League
fans.
Maybe last season.
Yeah, yeah. Because they won't be used to Spain losing. They won't be, you know, Spain were, they would like England for a long time, weren't they? Yeah. You just couldn't rely on them to just fail. Like, but that seemed forever ago.
This tiki-taki-tata nonsense. It's just, they're not over. They're still a world force. And I would punch my own dead grandmother to death again to have one of their players.
Is that,
To have Fernando Torres.
Really?
I'd punch me now, me dead nan.
Look, at least take a better player if you've got to beat up your nan's court.
I'd eat a bit of my dad for Cesc Fabregas.
There we go. Pete Donaldson.
Take that to the bank.
King of the North.
You hear me, mum and dad? King of the North. You hear that, mum and dad?
Angel of the North. yeah. But I've spoken like a true gent.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honourable. The right honourable Pete Donaldson there.
We've thought about tearing up the rule book, but an other option would be to get everyone else in the world to get rid of their rule book and start again.
You're damn right. But so others have a different opinion on why Brazil lost to Germany. Some have blamed Mick Jagger for the loss.
Yes. Yeah, I've heard of this superstition they have in Brazil.
Apparently, Big Mick, he's jinxed England, Italy, Portugal and the US in this World Cup alone.
Isn't it that every game he turns up at, they get beat or something?
Or even if he declares his support for someone, they do.
Did 10 Mick Jaggers turn up?
Seven of them.
Yeah.
Well, we all know there's more than one. There's no way at this age you can do the things he does.
The camera adds 10 Mick Jaggers.
In the previous World Cup, he watched England lose to Germany, then sat with Billy Big Time Clinton to witness Ghana beat the US. And then he wore a Brazil shirt to their loss against the Netherlands and messages of support.
When was this?
This was in the previous World Cup.
Yeah, right.
Alone. So this World Cup was mentioned this thing. He's been dubbed the Angel of Doom by some Brazilians, which is utterly ridiculous. And his 15-year-old Brazilian son he attended the semi-final with.
Yeah.
So again, it's just one theory, ladies and gentlemen, that we had to present to you. We've got to present all the arguments.
Imagine making a Brazilian. I've made a Brazilian and the Brazilians hate me. It's like, I've made one of you. How dare you?
I've bolstered your ranks.
Yeah.
I'm giving you something back.
Sympathy for the Freddle.
Hey!
There we go. They just stood up Zoo Radio style.
That's the one. That's the one, ladies and gentlemen. So there you go. Brazil 1, Germany 7, brackets SEVEN. Yeah.
Luke's got a smile on his face. He's about to bust out.
The reason I got a smile on my face is because I hope you're not going to go back to that bit earlier because I was just thinking of Roller Stones puns the whole time. I wasn't listening.
Yeah, I thought you were. Yeah, Jim, Pete, you could learn from that.
Paint shit black. They were shit.
Yeah.
Nah.
That's a shame. Netherlands.
Did you hear the last episode of the Football Ramble?
I endorsed it. Netherlands 0, Argentina 0.
Gimme Schürrle.
The Arch.
Pete Donaldson with you. Now, we are going to finish up with a bit of a three-man ramble. Me, Jim Campbell and Marcus Speller. And in this shot, it became very clear that not only did Marcus not watch Game of Thrones, he actively hated us talking about it as well. You know what happens next. Farewell. We'll be back next week. We'll be back next week. Fare thee well, Dragon Slayer.
Here. All right, Pete's here.
Stannis Baratheon.
But Luke the Lucky Sword isn't. He's in Greece.
Yeah, in Greece.
He's not done anything silly.
For Lord Ramble's wedding.
Yeah, he has, yeah.
I'm heading out tomorrow. The Red Wedding. I'm going to make it the Red Wedding when I get out there. Where's me fingers?
Very niche quotes. People might not understand.
Everyone watches Game of Thrones.
Everyone who listens to this show has to be used to that by now.
I don't watch Game of Thrones. I've no idea. Yeah, it was Football Ramble. We're recording this at
you're just like the imp.
Come on, stop this.
You're not a tall man.
England are pretty much out of the World Cup. This is not a time for laughter.
It's exactly the time for laughter, Marcus Speller.
It's all we have left.
One of the things I would say is, sorry to cut in again, is that winter is coming. No,
I've no idea what that means. That's how you do it, boys. Cheers. 3 points. Lovely. Mm. Get lost.
Yeah.
You know, that's
off you go up the wall.
Yeah. Shut up. I'm not getting any of these.
If you shore up your defence, then you create a platform for your forward players. So it's not always negative.
But I don't think James Milner is negative. It's how you use him.
Yeah, of course.
I don't think James Milner is the knight in shining armour who could have got us through the next round.
Ramble, football ramble, football ramble.
Stop it.
Football ramble.
Rubbish.
Game of rubbish.
What a perfect title for this show, given what has just happened.
What was I bloody saying? Milner. So,
Milner. Jamie Milner.
Stop it now.
Jamie Lannister. What?
That's enough. Right, that's it, isn't it?
That's it, isn't it?
Yeah, poor old England. Say goodbye, Pete.
Goodbye.
Say goodbye, Jim.
Goodbye, my love.
And it's goodbye from me, you beautiful bitches.
Hey guys, look what I just found on the system. Football ramble, 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 football ramble. Oh, it's starting yet?
Oh, hello.
Football ramble, football ramble, football
ramble.
Football ramble, Clinty Dempsey, Clinty Dempsey, Clinty rapping, rapping, rapping. Katie Dempsey, rapping, 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 rapping.
Something about banging G's.
Banging G's. Alex Song. He did a foul. Silly foul. Jovino scored a worldie. Fuck off England. Fuck off England. Oh, fucking hell.
Well.
Wow.
So
wouldn't have happened if Luke was here.
No.
Ramble.
This was a Radio Stakhanov production.
I'm delighted to be joined on the line by Stuart Normansell of Man v Fat, a weight loss programme that has benefited hugely through funding from the National Lottery. So, Stu, tell us a bit about the Man v Fat project.
Okay, so the Man v Fat programme is a weight loss programme. It started in 2016. It's a weight loss programme that's specifically for men. It's centred around football. What the guys do is they'll come every week. Every time they lose weight, they score half a goal for the team. They then, with their teammates, go out onto the football pitch, play six-a-side football. We take the score from the pitch and the score from the scales, add them together, and that's how we generate our league results tables. I was in the programme for 3 years. I played in Manchester and I've lost 6 stone. I fell in love with it quite early on, getting back into football after so many years. I started at 22 stone, so I was quite overweight. And it really just changed my life completely.
And you'd say the National Lottery funding has been hugely important to and really impactful for the entire thing.
Oh, yeah. I mean, we have over £13,000 lost that players had lost. 76% of our leagues, of the 21 that were funded, 76% of the guys lost weight. 32% of them lost 5%, which is that's a big difference to somebody's life, losing 5% of their body weight in 14 weeks. So it's been really successful, and we couldn't have grown the way that we have done, and we couldn't help as many men as we are doing without the funding from National Lottery.
And give us an idea of the kind of guy you were before you started working with Man v Fat and how that's changed.
Yeah, like I said, I was 22 stone, probably depressed, mental health struggles, issues about my weight, issues over food, starting Man v Fat. And like I say, it completely hit the ground running. Today, I'm 6 stone down. I work for Man v Fat as a coach in Manchester and Salford. So, yeah, my life's completely changed, and all through weight loss, all through football. The two main reasons why Man v Fat works is one, it's great support. So our coaches give advice. They're always there to support the guys if somebody's struggling. But also, as important, is the teammates as well. So the support network's there. If a guy's struggling, you know, to lose weight or he's got cravings, he can get on his WhatsApp groups. He can talk to his teammates. If they've anyone got any advice, the same with mental health issues. If someone's a bit down, they can get on there and say, oh, you know, I'm having a bit of a down day, guys. The guys are perking up in the WhatsApp group. So I think that that support network's really important. But also accountability. So our guys, you know, don't want to step onto the scales and not score half a goal for their team, particularly when you get to the top of the table and, you know, you're going for championships and stuff like that. The two things go hand in hand, really.
That was Stu from Man v Fat, one of the lucky organisations that have been supported through funding by the National Lottery. If you want to find out more, go to manvfat.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favourite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that?
I can't even remember. Yeah,
you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think of that. Have you thought about getting your own fucking hour?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.